From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Obligation of Christians to Make the Gospel Known in All the World. Verses 13 through 15 of chapter 1 of the epistle reveals something of Paul's heart for preaching the gospel. As Dr. Cairns has noted, Paul's burden for missionary work grew out of his own experience of the power of the gospel. Then Paul felt that he owed it to sinners to give them the gospel. For him, preaching the gospel was not an option. It was an obligation. Consequently, he desired to go to Rome to gather spiritual fruit, that is, souls. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's writings, found in his Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, One Look from the Lord. The text is in Judges chapter 6 and verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? What a look was that which the Lord gave to Gideon! He looked him out of his discouragements into a holy bravery. If our look to the Lord saves us, what will not His look at us do? Lord, look on me this day, and nerve me for its duties and conflicts. What a word was this which Jehovah spoke to Gideon. Go! He must not hesitate. He might have answered, What, go in all this weakness? But the Lord put that word out of court by saying, Go in this thy might. The Lord had looked might into him. And he had now nothing to do but to use it and save Israel by smiting the Midianites. It may be that the Lord has more to do by me than I ever dreamed of. If he has looked upon me, he has made me strong. Let me by faith exercise the power with which he has entrusted me. He never bids me idle away my time in this my might. Far from it, I must go. Because he strengthens me. What a question is that which the Lord puts to me, even as he put it to Gideon. Have not I sent thee? Yes, Lord, thou hast sent me, and I will go in thy strength. At thy command I go, and going, I am assured that thou wilt conquer by me. Desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of Ten Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of Ten Commandments of Bible Study today.
remember when William Carey, the great Baptist missionary, the father of the modern missionary movement, when he first caught the fire of God in his soul to get the gospel out to the heathens of India? It reduced it to a group of Orthodox Baptist preachers, the most Calvinistic, the most Orthodox, the most upright, the most separated, the most biblical men in the country. And what was the response? Young man, when God purposes to save the heathen, he will do it without your help. How could men who believe this book ever come to such a place? Very simply. Oh, they believed it all. But I cannot for a minute believe that the man who made such a statement was actually living in the abundant enjoyment of the gospel that he preached. I know that this was how the apostles felt. You remember in Acts 4 we read the words of Peter and the other apostles when they were under pressure to give over preaching the gospel. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We can't do anything else. The man who gets alone with this book and sees Christ in the gospel cannot help but speak of Christ. And I know that it was Paul's heart. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, he says, "It is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken." And then he adds, "We also believe, and therefore speak." Can anything be clearer? Anytime churches or Christians lose the burden for missionary outreach, it is always because they have lost their vision of the gospel and their appreciation of the gospel. They are no longer living in its abundant enjoyment. Paul had a burden for missionary work that grew directly out of his experience of the glory and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but that is why all the heart-rending films of starving children in heathen lands will never make missionaries. It may make social workers, will never make missionaries. It is good that we have a vision of the need. I'll come to that in due course. It is good that we have a vision of men and their need. But the only thing that will really give us the zeal to carry the gospel to them is a vision of Christ, a grasp of the gospel, an experience of its glory and its power and its wonder within our souls. When we lose that sense of wonderment at the love of God in Christ, when we lose that sense of wonderment at the incarnation, at the glory of God coming in the flesh to save us, when we lose the sense of amazement at the majesty of justifying grace, then we will lose the burden for a lost world. Paul's burden grew out of his experience of the gospel. That leads me to say that with that experience and that burden, Paul felt that he owed it to sinners to give them the gospel. He says, "I am debtor. I owe it to the Greeks and the barbarians, the wise and the unwise." Now, Greeks and barbarians really means Greeks and non-Greeks. Later it might have come to mean foreigners in rather a condescending sense. But quite simply it means all nations. All nations. Wise and unwise. He speaks of all classes. And Paul says, "I am a debtor to all nations and to all classes. I am a debtor. I owe it to these people. Rome was called an epitome of the world because it had all these nations represented in it. And it had all these classes represented in it. And Paul looked at these people in that seething city of Rome, that center of the world of his day, and he said, I cannot, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I cannot sit back unmoved, disinterested, careless. When I look at the city of Rome, sure there is a fledgling church there, but there's never been an apostle of Christ there. I cannot sit back and condemn Rome to its own heathenism, ignorance, and all the filthiness that goes with it. I am debtor to these people, just as I'm debtor to every other nation and every other class of people. I think Paul felt exactly as did the four leprous men who sat outside the gate of Samaria. You remember you read of those men in 2 Kings chapter 7. They were lepers. They were dying. They couldn't get into the city. The gates were closed. It was besieged. The people inside were dying. They'd been reduced to paying a fortune to eat a little dung. Over here we had the Syrian army. And here are four men, and they say, we're going to die. Let's throw ourselves in the mercy of the Syrians. At worst, we can but die. We're dying anyway. And when they went, they found that God had been before them. He scattered these people, and they had run in the night, leaving everything, and especially interesting, leaving their food behind them. They left their silver, their gold, all their acquisitions from their campaigns. They left everything in their rush, as they thought, for their lives. Can you see those four men? They gathered all the silver and all the gold that they could. And they ate till their bellies were bursting. And they sat down and they felt, my, we have never been so full in all the years we can remember. We're satiated, we're happy. And then we read in verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 7, then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. That's how Paul felt. A poor, guilty sinner, suffering from a disease worse than leprosy, going to a death worse than that of the four leprous men, facing an enemy more cruel than the Syrians. And yet, as a poor, guilty sinner, I have met with God's provision. He has been there before me. He has made provision. I have satiated my soul, and today I'm satisfied with the fullness that I have in Christ. But then he has to say, this is a day of good tidings. And if I hold my peace, I sin. I can't keep this to myself. I can't let the world go on without knowing. I must go and tell. I am a debtor. He felt that obligation. He felt it. Obviously because the people were perishing. And he had the message that they needed. The people were perishing. And he had the message that they needed. As we see as we go on in this epistle, he spends the first main section of the epistle explaining and expounding the need. And then he spends the next main section of the epistle explaining how the gospel of Jesus Christ is fit to meet that need. This is something that weighed in his heart. Here is a world, Jew and Gentile, and it's dying in sin. There is a city in Rome made up of Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, cultured and uncultured, wise and unwise, literate and illiterate, slaves and masters. They're all dying under the condemnation of God. I have the message that they need. I have the message that they need. I'm obligated to go and give it to them. As I quoted this morning from 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, then to Paul's way of thinking, the sinners whom he has saved have the obligation to go and tell other sinners of Christ's mission of mercy. But he felt the obligation because God had called him to that work. You remember we looked at this earlier on in this epistle or this chapter. Paul says he was a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He was separated unto the gospel of God. God had saved him and said, Paul, what you've got to live for now is the gospel. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me here. Paul was called in a very special way to a work that no other man in history has ever been called to. But that uniqueness does not extend so far as to say that when God spoke to Paul, saying in effect, Paul, I have saved you, and your life from this point onwards must be a life for the spread of the gospel. The uniqueness doesn't extend so far that that is true of Paul only. The uniqueness was the kind of ministry, the kind of apostolic power. That's not yours or mine, but the obligation to be separated unto the gospel is. Let me make it clear. Whether you're a student or a professor, whether you're a shopkeeper or a tycoon in industry, whether you're a millionaire or a pauper, whether you've all the brains in the world or whether you think you were marked absent the day they were giving out the brains, doesn't matter. I want you to learn this. If God has saved you, he has set you apart unto the gospel. So whatever your position in life, whatever your talent, lack of talent is no excuse in this. Understand that. Lack of talent is no excuse. If you have a soul saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of Christ, God says you're separated unto the gospel of God. That's the obligation. Paul felt that God had given him a stewardship. In those days, a stewardship was a work normally committed to a slave. And in this case, it was committed to a slave. Why do I emphasize that? Because in this sense, preaching was not optional to Paul. It was obligatory upon him. Have you ever thought of the words that he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 9, 16 and 17? Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. And I'm not trying to set this in its context. There is an argument in context here that is interesting, but it's not to my point tonight. I want you to understand the words and their force. If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Why? Because necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, by that he means if I do it as an option that I have chosen, then I have a reward. But if I do it against my will, by that he does not mean reluctantly. By that he means if I'm doing it not as an option, but as an obligation, a dispensation or a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. What is Paul saying? He says, I owe it to these people to go first because they are dying and I have the message they need. Second, because I'm a sinner saved by grace. I am a slave of Jesus Christ. And as a slave, I have a stewardship given to me. It's not optional for a Christian to be a witness. It is obligatory for a Christian to be a witness. That's what he's saying.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.